Welcome back into the show. Second hour rocking and rolling here. The whole show powered by PDC Energy. Excited about this next guest joining me now. He's my player of the week this week. Dalton Connect of the UNC Bears. He had 57 points and 16 rebounds over the last two games in a loss to Eastern Washington and a win over Idaho. He has been on an absolute tear. He's averaging a little north of 20 points per game, north of 7 rebounds per game. But the last few weeks have just been insanity for Dalton Connect. He's been putting up some big, big numbers. 34 against Idaho, 31 against Portland State, 32 against Montana. Dalton, thanks so much, man, for giving us some time today. We really appreciate you, my friend.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
You have been out of your mind lately in a good way, dude. You have just been on fire. It has been so much to follow you. But you were just, again, another monster game by you beating Idaho with 34 points in that game and 7 boards to add on to it. What's been going right for you, my friend?
I would just say just playing confident out there, and the teammates having trust, and then just the coaches putting me in good spots for me to score in.
It just seems like you're getting better as the season goes, and that's what coaches want. They want one of their star players to just be really feeling that rhythm, getting into it, especially as we get into the late part of January. February's right around the corner. I mean, do you feel like you could get better, though? It's hard to ask that question when you see these monster games, but do you think there's more in the tank for you?
Oh, yeah, I think there's always more to improve by, like, watching film or just getting, like, a workout in with one of your coaches and then just, like, going into the gym late at night to get shots up as well.
Dalton, you talk about the team having faith in you, the coaches having faith in you. I mean, you've kind of just seen it with these point totals of yours, more shots, more opportunities. What's that been like for you? You were good last year, but now to the point where guys look to you and they know, okay, we get the ball in Dalton's hands, good things are gonna happen. What has that progression been like for you from last year to this year where you're putting up these kind of numbers?
Kind of started off through the summer when we was all just new team, just playing all together and stuff. And then just like realizing that I'm going to have a bigger role especially with Core and Bodie gone, I'd have to grab more rebounds and stuff. And obviously with Drew shooting, I'd get a couple more shots up between me, Matt, and Dalen. So it also just becoming like more of a leader to the younger guys as well as them looking up to me. So I feel like the summer really came together to like look up.
Yeah, it seems like you guys have a really good connection too. You know, obviously these younger guys are getting to know the system more and more every single game. But you, Matt Johnson, and Dalen Coons, we talked about that at the beginning of the season. We always said, okay, the Bears have their big three. I just don't think we realized how big a part of the big three you were going to be. I mean, are you surprised at all? I mean, I figured you'd be good, dude. Don't get me wrong. But I didn't know we'd see, what, you know, 4 or 5 30-plus point games already. I mean, it's been really positive for you. Did you see that coming this season?
Yeah, I always felt like I could be one of the best players on the court, including last year. Kind of just like a bigger role, bigger opportunity. And like I said, the coaches for putting me in the good spots and believing in me. And then also just Matt and Dalen for letting me grow into that role. And it just, like I said, it just kind of fit perfect.
How's that relationship like with you, Matt, and Dalen? Because, we've talked about you three needing to really not just be the leaders on the floor, but off the floor as well. What's your relationship with those guys? Are you guys pretty close?
Oh, yeah, we're all pretty close. After practices, we'll all sit in the locker room for a little, just mess around and stuff. And we're just us three are pretty close all together.
Do you guys talk about, you know, your goals together, the three of you? I know you talk about it as a team. I know you talk about it with the coaches and everything. But there's no doubt that when we say Matt Johnson, Dalen Kuntz, and ultimately Dalton Knecht, we're going to say those were three of the really great Bears to do it for this team. Do the three of you kind of realize, you know, hey, we could etch our name in some UNC Bears history here, but we got to get together and make the best we absolutely can of this season ahead of us.
Yeah, for sure. We us three expect, like, when we go onto the court, that we're gonna be the best three guards on the court, or the three best players onto the court as well. So I think it's just all of our mindsets coming onto the court, like being prepared. Like, we gotta all play good for this team to play at a high level.
Dalton Knecht joining us for the UNC Bears, just has been on a tear lately, especially against Idaho. That was awesome to see this team get that win, 73-67. And now, Dalton, you set your sights on an interesting road trip coming up. I throw the records out the window. I look at Northern Arizona and I say, oh, okay, that's a team that's maybe struggling. They're 1-7 in the Big Sky Conference, but it seems like every game they've had has come down to the wire. So you kind of have to put those records away, don't you, when it comes to this conference? It seems like anybody can beat anybody.
Oh, yeah, this conference, you can never expect anything. I mean, any team could go down. NAU's been, last year we won off of a buzzer beater, so sure they still think about that, so I bet they'll be ready for us to play.
Yeah, no question about it. I'm looking forward to that one. And then road trip, as we know, Northern Arizona, then Montana State. I was joking with Dalen about this one coming up on Monday. Not next Monday, but the following Monday, February 6th. Some late night basketball, man. I'm really looking forward to that. 9 o'clock, that's going to be on ESPNU. That's going to be an awesome opportunity for this Bears team to get a lot of eyeballs focused on the program.
Oh, yeah, it'll be cool to play on ESPN. All of us are excited. We all been kind of talking about it, like kind of getting excited for it, but not looking too far out because we still got to go to NAU and also as well as Montana, both Montanas.
Yeah, some big ones coming up for you. Dalton, it's so much fun to watch you and this program. We're all big fans here. And congratulations to you so far on a great individual season. And I think there's some more in store, some big things in store for you and this team. So best of luck to you coming up this weekend, my friend.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Yes, sir. Sounds good.
Dalton Knecht. It's been on a tear. Hey, listen, I know Dalton. I know about Dalton. He's an amazing basketball player. He lets his basketball do the talking, but I think he did a good job there. He did a good job. We'll get him back on the show. He was good.
Yeah, so now we've had all three of the big three on this station now. So
within the last 2 days.
Yeah.
Because Dalen was on yesterday, Matt Johnson was on this morning, and Dalton Knecht was on just as you just heard, just now, literally like a minute ago.
Like we're the voice of the Bears.
It's like we're the voice of the Bears, the voice of sports up in Northern Colorado. So great to hear from him. He's been good, dude. You could make the argument that he's the best player on this team right now.
Yeah, I think it's definitely there to see his, as he talked about it, his transition from where he was last year, kind of coming off the bench in some spurts, to now being a full-time starter, being one of the leaders of this team. He's really taken that by the horns, and
mm-hmm.
He's been consistent all year long. He's been that reliable guy, kind of like he reminds me a lot of Bodie Hume,
kind of
in a ways. With if you need a big time shot or a big time three, get the ball to Dalton, and he's going to make it. And I think that's he's taking a little pressure off of Matt and Dalen, and they kind of you had to see them adjust to that new type of pressure. But now once all three of them are on the same page, this team is going to get very, very good.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Dalton does kind of remind me of Bodie a little bit. Not quite as tall, but just that ability to hit those free throws. McLean texting in, that game-winning shot by Joker on Tuesday night was the only made shot attempt by the Nuggets in the last 5 minutes of the game. Yes, sir, it was. Yes.
Did they win?
Yeah, they did, but they didn't win last night against Milwaukee. Should we be a little concerned? Dixon brought up the text yesterday, and I don't like to admit when the arch nemesis has made a good point, but they did run into a little bit of the opposite of a buzzsaw, the Nuggets did, because they did catch teams. You know, the Suns were without all of their guys, and we've seen the Clippers without at least half of their guys.
Does that, and again, they were smoking these teams, though. Does that concern you at all that that monster streak they went on with, they win 8 in a row? And they were against a lot of teams that were depleted. Does that concern you at all, Angel?
No, because I think this team is still talented enough to play with anybody and to beat anybody on any given night. And, you know, we see how they are when they don't have Jokic in the lineup or Murray's out of the lineup. The team is still good. They had no way of winning that game last night.
No.
Milwaukee.
And they were
in it for most of that game throughout the third quarter.
Take away Bruce Brown's awful start. And I love Bruce Brown. People think I'm picking on him. But it was the first 2 minutes of that game, of that fourth, that were just awful for him. I mean, he gets in foul trouble quickly. He has two turnovers that lead to baskets. Actually, the two turnovers led to two of his three fouls in the first 2 minutes. You take that bad start away, who knows? You put yourself in a position to maybe pull off an upset.
Yeah, and I heard Malone talking about it. He was, you know, they asked him about it, and he said that the mentality of the team was, we knew what it was, and we just had to go out there and play, and that's what you kind of saw. Four of your five starters are missing. Aaron Gordon's the only guy out there, so just go out and play. And they competed very well against a good Bucks team, and everything is ramping up for Saturday's big matchup against Joel Embiid, apparently, because that's a rivalry all of a sudden.
Well, yeah, they call
because
it.
Because the Sixers fans are so upset about Jokic, they have to make it a rivalry.
They call it rivalry week. This is rivalry week. Memphis and Golden State played last night. That makes sense. Western Conference team, they battled it out in the playoffs last year. Because Milwaukee was dubbed as part of the rivalry week too, so is Philadelphia. But they're both Eastern Conference teams. Is that just because they're two top teams and they have two guys that are in the MVP conversation? One of them's won a couple of them. Is that why? Because when I think of rivalry week in the NFL, I think of division games. In college football, I think of conference games or your big rivalry within your conference. When I think of rivalry week in the NBA, I guess I don't think of the divisions. I think of teams that you might have battled in the playoffs or teams that are really, really good that have players that can match up with you.
Like when I think of Nuggets rivals, I think of Phoenix, Utah, and Portland.
Yeah, I do too. I darn sure don't think of Eastern Conference teams, although the Philadelphia game does feel like maybe we're starting some kind of a weird rivalry here.
It could be, but if you're 2-0 in a rivalry, is it really a rivalry?
That's true. Zing. I am looking forward to this one, though.
Oh, it should be fun. The NBA Twitter will be all over it, and we'll have a full-on, like, the winner of that game should be the MVP. No.
Did you see what they have facing them next week again? So they're Saturday they play Atlanta at 7 o'clock, February 4th. Guess who they play the very next day? For the third time this year on a back-to-back. Excuse me. Yeah, that's exactly right. For the third time this year on a back-to-back, they're on the road. They're going to be playing the Timberwolves again. Why do they keep playing Minnesota on a back-to-back? Why is that happening?
It's so dumb. So they're home for three games,
mm-hmm.
go to Minnesota.
And then back home.
2 days later, you're back home against Minnesota, and then you're back on the road in Orlando 2 days later.
Why do they keep getting Minnesota on a back-to-back? This will be the third time.
And that's a primetime game at home. Are any of Minnesota's players going to play in that?
I don't know. It's just goofy, man. They have a few of these little back-to-backs. They have that one, and then at the end of February, they're at L.A. Clippers. Or no, excuse me, they're at Memphis, and then they're at L.A. or going home against L.A. Clippers. That's another back-to-back. It's bizarro land to me. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. If you guys want to get involved in the conversation, shoot us a text or go answer our poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. If you had to pick between these two guys, because it sure sounds like maybe those are the leading candidates, who would you pick? David Shaw or D'Amico Ryans? Go vote at thewholeshow.com, and we'll see where this one ends up at the end of the program. So I just tweeted it out, and just to kind of, you know, see what's going on out there, because I'm starting to get weirdly concerned about the Broncos, maybe, and the ownership. So I tweeted this, Angel. I said, just what I said. Hackett couldn't manage a game, so they hired Rosberg to take over. Hackett couldn't call plays, so Kubiak took over. George Payton couldn't hire a good head coach, so Penner took over. Something doesn't work, throw more management at it. No room to breathe. Sounds very corporate. This has got to be a bad sign going forward. Like, why is George Payton there? Because Greg Pender's not going to be the guy drafting and, you know, doing the depth chart and all that stuff. But why is Greg Pender qualified to hire the next head coach then?
Are they setting him up to fail?
Yeah, they're setting him up to probably be gone. Although, if D'Amico Ryans comes in, he's not going to be given. They're not going to Josh McDaniels this thing and just give him the general manager job. They're not going to do this. They're not going to do that with David Shaw either. They would do that with Dan Quinn. They would do that with Jim Harbaugh, and they would do that with Sean Payton.
Well, it's just interesting. If they want their own GM, why is Penner still here?
Why is Payton still here?
Or yeah,
Payton. Yeah. Why? I don't know. Why not? Why would you? Especially when you're clipping his wings. I'm paying you to be the GM. I want you to do all the GM duties. That's why it's clunky. I'm paying Hackett to be the head coach, but I'm going to have Rosberg and Kubiak do a couple of the head coaching type things. I'm paying George Payton to be my general manager, but I'm going to do some of the hardest work, which is hiring the next head coach. 21, it appears like it is a lot of hard work. 21 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.